expository, and we're doing a topical this morning. I'd have you turn to the book of John, John 15, and we're looking at just two verses in John 15, verses 12 and 13. Follow with me as we read those verses. Verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Army PFC, Bob, I hope you caught that, not Marine. Army PFC, Ross McGinnis from Knox, Pennsylvania, was perched in his gunner's hatch on his Humvee in Iraq when a grenade came sailing through the air, just missing him in the head, sailed past him and landed inside his Humvee where his four buddies were huddled. Ross McGinnis had time to bail out of the Humvee. He was right there at the door hatch. But his buddies were inside, and so Ross chose to fall on the grenade, and he saved all four of their lives. This Friday, President Bush awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor to his family, who gave so much, laid down his life, as it mentions here in this verse, for his friends. On Memorial Day, we remember those who have given much, and some who have given their all to God and our country. General George Patton said, "Do not just mourn for the men who died on Memorial Day, but rather rejoice and thank God that such men ever lived." In the Old Testament, we read of those that would mourn at the passing of great men. When Jacob yielded up the ghost, even the Egyptians mourned for him. 70 days, 70 days they mourned at the death of Jacob in Genesis 49, verse 33 through Genesis 50 and verse 4. We read again that when Moses died, that the children of Israel wept for Moses 30 days, Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 through 8. And even the body of King Saul and the bodies of his sons, which included Jonathan, a great man of God, when they buried them, they fasted 7 days, 1 Samuel 31, verses 12 through 13. 70 days, 30 days, 7 days. Today we set aside only one day as a memorial, to mourn and to rejoice that God gave us such men who would lay down their lives for their friends. The fact that we only worship, or rather the fact that we only set aside one day as a memorial, perhaps speaks to the fact that we no longer appreciate that God is still blessing us with men willing to sacrifice for others. It is a wonder with what has gone on in this country and its attitude towards prayer and Bible reading, that God is still blessing us with men willing to lay down their lives. Scripture tells us that God's people were to remember others who had stood. Scripture tells us they had to remember and that they were to rejoice. And we find how they did rejoice over those that, when granted the right to fight, and when successful in the fight to preserve God's people who worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the people were to remember that. And we read of that in the Feast of Purim. 2 days every year, we read in Esther 9, 27 and 28. 2 days every year should you remember and kept throughout every generation, never to be forgotten. Those days of Purim should not fail, nor the memory of them perish from their seed. It was a great, great day for them, a great day of rejoicing when Esther through the encouragement of Mordecai, got the permission of the king for them to arm themselves and defend themselves to the death if need be. And when they were given that permission, that liberty to fight to the death, to defend themselves, it says the people, they rejoiced over that. And they were told never to forget that day and those days when they did what they were granted to do. They fought and they preserved the people of God. America's Memorial Day reminds us of the men who were also willing to stand and to fight and to defend the people of God in this nation, to preserve, as it were, this republic. That's right, I didn't say democracy. We were never formed as a democracy. For those of you who went to public school, I'm one of them. I was taught that we lived in a democracy, that our founding fathers created a democracy, but our founding fathers wanted the people to have as much liberty as possible, and so they founded a constitutional republic. That's why you pledge allegiance to the republic for which it stands. You do not pledge allegiance to the democracy for which the flag stands. And in the Constitution, it says in Article 4 and Section 4 that given to the states are the rights to govern as a republic. The word democracy is never even mentioned in the Constitution of the United States, but the word republic, form of government, is. Liberty was best granted to those people whose form of government was a republic. You know the story of Benjamin Franklin. He came out of the conferences when they were forming our government, and they said, what have we got? A monarchy? Will George Washington be our king? And it was recorded, no, George Washington. Why won't he be our king? Because George Washington was reported to have said, America already has a king in Jesus Christ. And so they jettisoned the idea of a monarchy. And so when Benjamin Franklin came out and said, well, we haven't got a monarchy. Have we got an aristocracy? What have we got? A democracy? What have we got? And Benjamin Franklin said at that time, we have a republic if you can keep it. And people said to him, what's the difference between a democracy and a republic? And he explained it this way. In a democracy, you have two wolves and a sheep, and they vote for what they're going to eat for dinner. That's a democracy. Two wolves and a sheep voting what we're going to have for dinner. In a republic, the sheep is well armed and can contest the vote of the wolves. That should be an easy way to remember the difference between a democracy and a republic. A democracy did not give the liberty, the Bill of Rights, freedom of religion, freedom to arm the public against an aggressive government. Patrick Henry also said, it cannot be stressed too strongly, he said, or too often, that this great nation was founded not by religionists or deists, but by Christians. It was not founded on some religious pretext, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ, said Patrick Henry. You were taught that in the public school system, weren't you? In the New Testament, we read that devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him in Acts 8 and verse 2. Do you remember the story of Stephen? How he waxed eloquently about the Old Testament and all that God had done in the Old Testament, and now how it tied in with what Christ had done as he had come and what God was now doing among the Jews. And it was a wonderful story, and it was a beautiful truth, and they stoned him for it. Paul holding their garments and encouraging the stoning of this man Stephen. But devout men, Apostle Paul was not one of the devout men at that time. The devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. We have talked of the mourning of Jacob for 70 days, the mourning for Moses for 30 days, and now the great, great lamentations over Stephen. It stands out that these men like Moses and Jacob and Stephen were men that Israel believed they could not well afford to lose. America has lost some great men, have we not? We ought to be concerned where this country is headed today, and if we'll ever see another president in our lifetime like President Ronald Reagan. I'm older than probably most of you here, but not older than all of you here. It's the best president I've ever seen. If you knew nothing about Ronald Reagan but this one quote, you might understand why I feel that way. Ronald Reagan said, "Within the covers of the Bible are all the answers for all the problems that men face." Wow, would I love to have a president like that in November. Is it not worrisome to you this morning that there was no great lamentation in this country? There was no mourning for 70 or 30 or 7 days. There were no flags flown at half-mast from our government buildings when D. James Kennedy died and Jerry Falwell died. Is that not worrisome to you? If God's hand is not poised for revival in this country, and I suspect it's not, I pray that it is poised for the rescue and the catching away of His church. Because we are in sad shape. On this Memorial Day. On this Memorial Day, few seem aware of God's hand in the many historical battles for the soul of our country. Few seem aware of God's battles for the souls of God's people as well. Even Benjamin Franklin, questionable whether he ever got saved or not, but even Benjamin Franklin saw God's hand in the struggles during the American Revolution. Benjamin Franklin said, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man." He saw the sovereignty of God, God in control. He says, "God governs in the affairs of man." He was even a saved man, and he understood that God was in control. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, not even a sparrow, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? Benjamin Franklin, again, questionable whether he was a saved man in his latter days, but he said this also: "He who shall introduce into public affairs the principles of primitive Christianity, he who will introduce into the public affairs the principles of primitive Christianity will change the face of the world." And it was a face that Franklin wanted changed. George Washington, another fine president, the father of our country, who we ought to remember on this Memorial Day, said he had so frequently witnessed God's intervention on the battlefield that he wrote Thomas Nelson. Some of you probably have a Thomas Nelson Bible, a relative. He wrote him in 1778, "The hand of providence has been so conspicuous in all of this that he must be worse than an infidel that lacks faith in a God that exists." 1 Timothy 4:6 tells us that we are to put our brethren in remembrance of these things. And when you read Timothy, it talks about all the things that took place in the Old Testament and things that were taking place in the days of Christ. 1 Timothy 4:6 says we are to put our brethren in remembrance of these things. 2 Timothy, he says, put our brethren in remembrance of these things. 2 Peter says, put our brethren in remembrance of these things. We are constantly to remind our brethren of those who sacrificed in the past for the souls of men. And in Jude chapter 1 and verse 5, again we're told to put our brethren in remembrance of these things. "Put you in remembrance how the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt," Jude says in chapter 1 and verse 5. We had to remember how God saved the Jew out of Egypt. And it doesn't stop there. We go on to verse 15, and Jude says, "And behold, there's another thing you need to remember. Remember that God is coming again to save His people. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment and to convince all that are ungodly of their ungodly deeds and of all their speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. God is coming to get a hold of the ungodly and to deal them. And so as we are to remember how he saved the Jews out of Egypt, we ought to also remember that someday God is coming to save his remnant, his elect, his sheep, out of an ungodly world. On this Memorial Day, I would encourage you to remember and rejoice not only how God saved the Jews out of Egypt, and not only how God is going to save this ungodly world someday, his remnant out of it, but on this Memorial Day, I'd have you remember to keep in remembrance, brethren, how the Lord also saved you. On Memorial Day, that might be something to think about. To think about the day that the Lord saved you. And to think about the afflictions that followed you as you were faithful as a newborn saint in the Lord. To think about those things. Now, you might think that's an odd thought on Memorial Day. But the Scripture actually instructs us as an encouragement to do just that in the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews chapter 10, 32-35 says this, "Call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, in which you were enlightened, in which you were called out of darkness." The writer of Hebrews says, call to remembrance the former days. It ought to be on a Memorial Day something that you call to remembrance. The former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured reproaches and afflictions, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a great reward. We're to think about that. We're to call to remembrance the day that we were saved, illuminated, and what God has in store for us. Tomorrow is the actual day that we celebrate, Memorial Day. It's a day that some will visit Valley Forge up here in Pennsylvania. It's a day that some will remember the Alamo in Texas. Some will gather at Gettysburg. Some will gather at Pearl Harbor. Some will gather at the Twin Towers in New York. But may we not overlook the most important battle that was ever fought. It was fought at Golgotha for our souls. On Memorial Day, that ought not to escape. For Paul and Peter, they're right here, that we should keep the brethren in remembrance of these things. And so on Memorial Day, we ought to be thinking about Golgotha. I know only one died there. But that one who died there, it hardly expresses the ferocity of the battle. It hardly expresses the cost of the conflict. Because in that firefight, and it was a firefight of all firefights, he who died was the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the Creator, the Everlasting Father, the Redeemer of mankind. It was a costly battle in which only one died, but oh, the one that died. Our communion service this morning, it is, in fact, a memorial service. Remembering. Greater love had no man than this, that Christ Jesus laid down his life, not just for his friends, but for his enemies, for sinners. It's quite a memorial, our communion service. It commemorates Christ's death and his victory over death in a notable manner. The communion service is a part of our marching orders. Do you realize that? The communion service is actually a part. If we're Christian soldiers, we sing Onward Christian Soldiers, marching on to war. Our marching orders are to have a communion service. Christ said, this do in remembrance of me. On Memorial Day, how can we not remember what Christ has done? How can we not do what he's asked us to do? This do in remembrance of me, Luke 22 and 19. 1 Corinthians 11 and 24. How often it is observed varies from church to church and fellowship to fellowship, but that we are to observe it. It is our marching orders until he comes is clear in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11, 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Till he comes, we have been given the marching orders to have a memorial service, a communion service, in remembrance of him. And on this Memorial Day, that's what we are gathering to do. I would ask if our elder and the men that I spoke to early before the service would come forward to distribute the elements, please. This time, our elder, Dr. Bob, will read the charge to the congregation.
From 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord,